okay, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm go. Where's my ticket for the ship, man?
Happy Monday, everybody. This is Tyler Gallagher, and of course I'm with
Douglas Newsome. Hello, everybody.
Hello. We are that's a little bit of Seinfeld. Hello. Remember Jerry Seinfeld?
I remember. I love his show. One of the few comedians that's actually truly, truly funny.
I'd have to disagree with you. There's many funny, funny comedians, but yes, he's very good.
Like his partner. That's on, what is it, Showtime or HBO? I forget.
Larry David.
Man, I tell you, he's like all of the characters wrapped up into one.
He is a funny guy. So how are you, man? We did not have a show. Well, you had a show with your twin brother, Donald.
I had a show with Donald, yeah.
I was absent.
Yes, yes.
I'm back now.
Well, good, because there's so many things to challenge our minds with this week.
Absolutely. I want to actually start off with something. It's
sure.
been, I believe in life, it's all, you know, all about sharing your experiences and you know, sharing things with others.
I agree.
There's been just such a wonderful gem that's come into my path recently, and it's someone you and I both admire, and it's Oprah Winfrey.
And, yeah.
I know I shouldn't be doing this, but I'm going to.
You're going to plug Oprah Winfrey on the Doug and Tyler show.
Oprah Winfrey had started a phenomenal show on her site. You can go to it at www.oprah.com. And Eckhart Tolle, one of the great spiritualist and really, really quite a grounded individual, such as like a Wayne Dyer, him and Oprah have started, they're on their fifth week this Monday, on doing a worldwide event where they talk about his book, Life's Purpose, or it's one of those books, but it's just phenomenal. They have callers from all around the world, from Germany to Tel Aviv, like all over the world. It's worldwide on the internet. It's all free, and I urge everybody looking to grow as a spiritual being to tune in and hear what Oprah and Eckhart Tolle have to say.
It's good. You know, I'm very impressed by Oprah too.
Yeah.
I learned so many things this past week. And I don't know if a lot of what I learned is the sort of information that people really need to be aware of, or if it's just something that will make them mad, upset, and worried. But on so many levels, the sort of information I've been reading, outside of making me upset and worried, challenges me to accept the things that I can and not worry about the things I cannot change. Do you know what I mean? I think on so many levels, to wake up, sometimes we need to push ourselves. We need to push ourselves, or we reach what is known as, let's say, a dark night of the soul. And when we reach these real low points in our lives, we encounter a place we don't want to be, so we scream out inside of ourselves for help, or change. And that changes us, okay? The cosmos then, if it feels that strength within you or that love within you, let's say love within you, then you change. So maybe on some level, the sort of information that I'm going to impart and discuss today will make people think, you know, that really sucks. I get it. It sucks. But maybe it's going to push me in a way to change or to help, or it'll just make me so mad that sooner or later, a year from now, you'll get so nuts that then you'll change. I don't know.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying that you would like to expose truths that you believe are truths and possibly events, circumstances, to put people in an outrage, which would make them want to change the world.
Maybe, or maybe they'd be outraged within themselves because they're a part of the understanding, or maybe that they can do something about the understanding, or maybe they don't do anything, but they just recognize it and it depresses them to a point where they have to consider it on the inner inner dialogue.
Now, what do you think of this? You know, I've really, I got to tell you, we've had this discussion so many times, and I think it's such a relevant topic. And I think, especially the day and age that we're coming into, I think that our past, you know, we've had many conversations about this. And as Eckhart Tolle says, that we as humans have lived in an ego world, in a world built with ego.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but sometimes,
you know,
we don't recognize it until somebody explains it or shows us what ego really is.
No, absolutely, absolutely. Egoic is what he calls it, is an egoic kind of world that we lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I got to tell you, you know, he just says such brilliant things, but one of my personal biggest missions has been to, I personally don't know if you can get rid of your ego, because I think it might always exist, but I think you can suppress your ego. I don't know, maybe you can get rid of your ego, but for me, it's been a really important battle for me to learn how to, because I believe my biggest enemy my whole life has been the ego part of me. I think if I look at all the turmoil that's gone down in my life and all the wrong decisions or the decisions that have led to grief that I've made, I think it would all boil down to my ego. And so, you know, it's kind of been an important thing for me, is to be able to, you know, I'm a young man, you know, I'm growing as much as I can every day. I'm not going to destroy it all at once, but, you know, chip at it every day, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And Eckhart Tolle said something so profound, and he was talking about when you lose your ego, when you get rid of your ego, right?
Right.
You no longer get upset. He says that to get upset is egoic, is to be a part of, it's kind of part of your ego. Your ego is hurt.
Bear this in mind.
Ego is something, you know what I mean? So I guess my question
to you... He went through
an
awakening. He actually awoke. Okay?
No, absolutely. But my question to you, there's all relevance to this, trust me, is this. Do you think that those who have to be devastated before they want to change is nothing but the ego tricking them into thinking they're becoming a spiritual being?
Well, I don't. I think.
What do you think of that?
I think change in and of itself is a constant. And I think that on some level, it's the type of changes that we go through or the experiences we go through that compel us to want to change in different directions. Let's say that you're a banker. And let's say that you get involved with financial lending, and you do this in the time period of, World War II. And you actually feel that the money that you're lending is, you know, is helping one country over another. Let's say, and you get wrapped in with a lot of people, and these people are all going, yeah, you're doing such great things for the world, you know, you're helping one country, the let's say the liberated country fight the non-liberated country, and that's all you ever hear. So do I think that that person needs to hear something else? Yeah, because he's not even aware of his ego, he's not aware of other points of view. Hmm?
If I could interject,
mm-hmm.
I truly, personally, I know you brought this up many times, so I think it's important to clear this up, because this is, you know, personally, just my thoughts and, you know, what I share. I don't think that anybody really growing and you know, in a place, you call it awakening, whatever you call that place of where you're awake and you now see the world differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, many people have different, you know, enlightened, awakened, you know, whatever it be. I don't think that anybody in that kind of a place would have anything to do with fight.
By the way, you don't stay in that place.
I think that fighting and wars, I think that that's from an instinctive animal instinct non-evolved kind of human way of looking at life.
Even Eckhart, is probably looking at his ego from time to time, and it gets the best of him. Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Comment because I'm not Eckhart Tolle, but I can tell you this: anybody, when you talk about growing the world, I think growing the world and helping out the world and giving back, I don't think it has to do with any work. Because I know you said, what about, if this guy's strapping a bomb to help all these, to himself, to go kill all these other guys so that these guys don't. I don't look at that as you're helping the world, you're growing the world. I look at that as...
Remember, you're one opinion. You're one opinion. And love, by the way...
When we're killing others... No matter...
Remember, everybody's got a truth. Everybody, it's the highest level of excitement and what compels you to feel the most love. And even love is, by the way, arbitrary to some degree until it's a feeling that is connected with everything.
There's no way taking away someone's reward in any facet, I don't care how justified it is of love. Nothing... Anything that has to do with killing another and taking life from another, involuntarily.
Now, by the way, this is the point I wanted to bring up earlier. By the way, Tyler, I agree. And by the way, I don't know if we can deem it spiritual. I think there's other definitions of it. But here's the point.
I think that's just an animal instinct. I think
here's the point.
Caveman way of looking at life.
On so many levels, when you have an institution that creates ambiguity or indifference or subjects you to so many different opinions, right and wrong, and chaos, that you really don't know what's right or wrong, and even if somebody was to put right in front of you, you could be indifferent to it. It stems from, I think, the idea of control. But controlling what? What are these people trying to control? They're not trying to really control themselves so much, and though they probably try, they're trying to control the world, or money, or resources, or even human people. Why? Why? I'm thinking about this a lot. And I think, okay, if there is a lot of... And I want to take you out of the world of spiritual information for a while, Tyler, because, dealing with the idea of everything being a reward and let's grow the world, doesn't make for interesting conversations. It only takes us so far into our minds, and then we don't... Hmm?
Well, then let me clarify something, for you and for everybody listening to this program. I'm not here to provide entertainment. I'm not here to... That wasn't my agreement on being here to do a show on Mondays.
So you want to talk about growing the world? There's only so many ways you can say it.
I want to share my experiences, and I want to talk about how we can live a better experience.
Well, I'm going to tell you about my experiences today. Today, I'm reading a lot of information.
Uh-huh.
And that information is leading to various understandings. These are my experiences. So do we want to just deal with your experiences today?
See, I think you misunderstood what I'm saying. I said I'm on this program every day, right, as a growth for myself and share, what things that are going on and to... if I can possibly be involved in a show on a Monday night where somebody listens to it and their week is just that much better.
Sometimes you shock a person.
There's a little bit of a nugget there. There's something beautiful that I think that there's enough negative. I think there's enough news. I think there's enough negative out there. My agreement to doing this show on a Monday is to have 1 hour out of my entire week to have positive light shine.
And by the way, you'll get to the most positive
Truthfully.
As the information flows into you. And then you come to an understanding about that information, first a recognition. Then you feel within yourself a way to be with that information. And that sense of peace is really where we're trying to get to through looking at the world as it is.
Well,
because the world as it is, the world as it is, Tyler, is going to be in your face, no matter what.
But
there are millions of people out there that can't think like that, so we've got to kind of carry them along there. We take them along that journey. We tell them, what are you seeing in the world today? This is what you're seeing.
How can you not guide others, right, through the positive light?
You do, but you first got to, you first show them what it is that's out there, and then you start to trek that journey.
I don't believe in that. I really don't. I think that you can change someone's week by having a positive message, by sharing your positive, by sharing, you know, the positive things that you're seeing.
Well,
going on around.
Did have a positive week. I actually had a positive information in my brain, and it's all as a result of hearing so many negative things.
Okay. But what I'm saying is on this program, right, let's take this hour to share the light in the world.
That's what we're about to do.
Shine the light.
That's what we're about to do, Tyler.
And then the end of the show brings light because it's entertainment. No. We're not here for entertainment, Doug. And I know when you first agreed to do the show with me, and, you know, I remember it was our...
I just got to move on many... My mind, Tyler.
You know,
my mind is working on so many levels.
Right.
I want to bring a lot of these conversations to the picture. Not a lot of the same conversations we've had in the past, only because I feel that we've beat them over the head with an ugly stick.
See, let me tell
you... We beat them to death.
I got to tell you, and I got a lot of love for you, but I got to tell you, the minute you think that you're done growing spiritually or growing as an individual is the second you're done growing. You
will But by the way, Tyler,
you know what I mean?
It's like reading the same passage. Do you grow from reading the same passage? You can, but if you read that same passage 100 times, how far can it take you before you really got to go, hey, I better read another passage?
Well, to play devil's advocate, I think to become a master at something is to dissect it, to talk about it constantly. And I would like to become,
I want to look at a world that if we are in, let's say we're in a group where you've got 100 of the most powerful people in the world. What are, let's say, some of the guidelines of the spirit or working with humanity that we'd want to lay down or we'd want to teach them? Let's say we wanted to have a guidebook. And this guidebook is going to, you know, they've got to read this. What would be in it? What would be some of the understandings that would be in it? By the way, don't say the Ten Commandments. Because that's a simple one.
No, I would never. You want to know my answer? It's very simplistic. You ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
If I had that book and I had to write that book, it would be very simplistic. It would probably not be over a chapter long. And it would basically be this. Find your own truth. Find your own beliefs. Find your own way of being happy.
Okay, what if
don't
being happy was to take everything... What if my happiness, let's break that one apart. My happiness involved taking everything you have.
That's not happiness. That's
why? Wait. You said find my own truth, my own happiness. My truth is the strongest survive. That's not my truth, but let's just say I'm one of these guys. The strongest survives, and he who has the gold rules.
I would tell you... I love you, and it's great that you play a devil's advocate, but I got to tell you, if you're someone who finds their own truths and truly takes the time to get to know, you know...
Let's say you couldn't give them this. You couldn't give them all, everybody find your own truth. Everybody do. Here's why, because if there's 100 of them, there's 100 different truths. Let's say we had to make them law. Let's say we had to make laws.
That's the problems in the world, Doug.
Well, wait. Let's just say we had to set down... guidelines that they could not go against. What would those guidelines be?
I would honestly say then we'd be living in an egoic world and there would be no evolution.
Interesting, because I'll throw out a couple guidelines. One, all life is sacred. all life, is equal. Okay? These are guidelines. What would be another one? And I'm saying, and let's say that if you broke that, if you said that you could kill somebody, well, then you're punished. Or if you treated somebody unfairly to another person, then you were punished. And by that I mean biased. Or you gave affirmative rights to somebody else. We'd cut that out because, one, all life is sacred, must be allowed to live. And two, all life is equal. Okay, what would be number three? I'm just giving you standard, simple pinpoints that I think, let's look at these guidelines. Everybody, if they followed by them, whether they're spiritual or not, they might be able to coexist in peace and harmony and reach a higher vibration because of these understandings. Because today, what I see is we don't value life, which, you know, when you sign up for the military and you're told, killing's okay, right? Or just follow the voice at the top, whoever president whatever is in the country. He could be a bloody communist, and he could tell you to go out and kill somebody, and you think because of patriotism, that's okay. But it wouldn't be, would it? One of our laws wouldn't be, listen to the president and follow his advice. What would the third one be, do you know?
Again, like I told you, I'm not someone who would come and make others believe what I believe.
It's not a matter of making, but if you have a lot of people and you have to live within a society, if you have a society and the society isn't totally aware, all of the people aren't totally aware, then you have to have guidelines where everybody lives by, just like when you're driving down the road. You can't run a red light. Because if you did, there'd be chaos.
Again, I tell you as an individual, right, I'll first off tell you, I don't have all the answers. I cannot tell you how I would run civilization because I don't live from that kind of a mindset.
Don't you have, you know why I think along those lines?
Because what I would challenge is for others to discover who they are and in that, all the truths will come out. If someone knows who they are, violence isn't even a question. Violence doesn't even come across their thoughts. A grounded individual does not resort to violence. A grounded individual does not have an ego, does not make egotistical moves, does not try to dominate and take over others. You know what I mean? A grounded individual who knows who they are have a distinct set of just, it's almost, an intuitive level of living. And I would say that I, as an individual, I don't have all the knowledge in the world. I can't guide a civilization. I can't, you know what I mean? I'm only a single individual, right, who knows about himself and knows about his experiences. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
I say, by the way, there are some people really do search within themselves. But you know what Eckhart is doing right now? What's he doing right now? He's guiding people. But you know why he's teaching people? Because he's gained a body of knowledge that is actually of the higher good, principles of the higher good, and now he feels he has enough of it to share. And that's kind of where... I am.
But here's the difference with Eckhart. He doesn't impose his beliefs on anybody.
I'm not sitting there with a gun to your head, Tyler.
No. But he doesn't tell anybody to read his book. He doesn't tell anybody.
He doesn't.
How you know you have.
He doesn't
to do
tell that. Anybody to read his book.
He tells people to discover it on their own. If they're ready, they'll read it. If they're not, that's fine. That doesn't mean they're
So he probably shouldn't have written it.
No, I think that's, again, you're trying to be a devil's advocate, which is...
No, I'm trying to show you that there's two places. We're in two places. Your place is you're still gaining a grounding with your own understanding in order to come to these realizations, and I feel I have enough body that the realization should be shared. So I want a guide. That's really the sort of purpose that I feel that many spiritual people wake up to. They want a guide. They don't want a rule. They don't want a master. They want to build tools for other people's discovery, and sometimes those tools are words and guidelines.
I love it. And you, sir, just said exactly why I do this program.
Why is that?
What did you just say?
You want to teach?
What did you just say? No. I just shared. All Eckhart did with his book is he wrote down his discoveries on life and let others read it. And I let others read it and come to their own conclusions.
And that's
me
why
on this show, I'm doing the same thing as you just said and you want to do. And that's be, you know, share my experiences, not impose them on others, not say this is right, this is wrong. Just going, hey, you know, what do you think of this? You know, in my experience on my journey, you know, I found to discover this and having a nice conversation about it. Not going and finding all these.
Well, there is a difference there, right and wrong. Right and wrong. You're using the term right and wrong, but he is saying one can do. He is saying one can shut off the ego. One can do this. So it's a guideline.
No. I'm saying personally, I'm just sharing my spiritual experience. That's on my journey. That's what I'm trying to do. You know what I mean? That's what I'm trying to do.
The people right now, there are so many people in various places in the world,
mm-hmm.
and they're all being befuddled. Not all, but such a great majority. And they're getting angry, or they're getting worried, or they're getting upset, or they're going broke, or they're getting stressed. And they're doing that because they are listening to the crap. And sometimes, if I tell you the crap is so bad, and it jars you enough, and then you can get past it. You know, there's one thing about slugging a person right when you get the fight over with early. By the way, if you can get somebody to think and then go beyond it, just a sec. If you can get somebody to think and you hit them across the head, square in the head with X amount of information, it's the worst that you can possibly think. If I said right now the world is going to end, live like you were dying. Now you're going to know you're dying, and you're going to really live. Well, because you accept that worst, you accept that predicament, and then you move on to that higher level of being.
But what if, out of that, someone gets so frightened that they kill themselves because they just can't bear to live another minute?
Well, that's really why the conversation is an hour long.
Right? And what if
that's why our conversation is an hour long.
What if you killed that person because, you know, they were such, you know, they were an impressionable person and they believed what you said and they, you know, they couldn't get past what you said and they couldn't go on to the good news, you know? I'm just...
Well, I don't know. I guess we could look at all conversations that way.
Absolutely. But what I'm telling you is this.
I think that's a bit ridiculous to jump out there and state that, though.
But it's
because the information I could give wouldn't be that more drastic than the information that's appealing to our mental minds each and every day when we watch the boob tube.
I got to tell you, I really believe that, you know, the world that we've evolved from is the egoic. And I think in this new world that's emerging, I think for, the new, you know, millionaires have you, the billionaires, the new people in control, the new people doing things. I got to tell you, I truly believe that in this new day and age, those people stepping up to those places are going to have to come from a place of no ego. I think that those are going to be the new
What if I put you on an acre of land,
mm-hmm.
and I put a 20,000 other people on that acre of land, and I said, live. But there wasn't enough for everybody to live in the way that each of them wanted to do it. One guy wanted all the earth, and he wanted to build blah, 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 but the other guy wanted to do something, but there wasn't enough earth. Another guy, he wanted to eat X, but there's just not enough for all of them to do that. What do you do? What would you do under a situation? Would you rise up and say, "Let me help guide," or would you say, "Oh, everybody, just go out there and do your own thing"? Bear in mind, there's only an acre.
I would tell you,
and there's 20,000 people that have to sustain themselves on this acre. And let's say that on that acre, only 100 people can possibly sustain themselves, as we know it now.
I would tell you this, Doug. Okay.
Hmm.
For you to make broad comments such as, you know, I have all this information, I believe I've hit an understanding of...
Information that might be negative.
No, listen.
Information that might be negative that can actually wake people up.
Hear me out. Let me finish my thought. I've listened to you. So for you to make this statement, you know, I'm ready to guide, I've learned this and that, you know, I've hit
you,
this...
Boy, you take a lot of my stuff out of context, Tyler. I really feel like I want to guide, but that's a mission in life. But for you to propose, even your voice tone I don't like.
Because that's your ego.
No, it's not my ego. You've been egoic throughout the conversation. You didn't want to listen in it since the beginning of the conversation, and you're allowing it to carry forward into this. And that I don't like, Tyler.
You sound like you're getting defensive.
And getting defensive, and I think it's rude of you.
So I want to tell you this. First off, I apologize if I've come off in a way that makes you feel defensive, because that's not where I'm going. I'm not trying to make you feel crummy.
Good.
Then propose an
understanding. Don't come at me in the way that a five-year-old would.
That's just not me, Tyler.
Then
let me adjust what I'm saying so that you're not in a place of defense.
I mean, that was, that was a bit ridiculous.
All I'm saying is this, okay? For you to make a comment such as the one you just made, there's an underlining, there's an underlining definition to what you just said.
Desire. Underlining desire.
An underlining definition desire to what you said, and you're basically saying this. What if on Earth there isn't enough here for everybody?
No, I'm not.
Well, that's kind of what you're
doing. You jumped to the assumption that you think I'm going to create a world environment where there's too many people and something's got to be done. You're absolutely wrong. You jumped there, and you already put that conversation in context with my question, and you went off on a tangent. And that's insanity. That's a guy who doesn't listen.
I think you're getting quite defensive, my friend.
I am, because you do it often.
What I'm trying to say is this. I don't think a situation like you brought up would occur. We don't live in that kind of a world where only 100 get to survive and everyone else dies. That's not why we're here.
It was to make a point.
What kind of point?
In some situations.
Says, why don't you
where you have lots of people, where you have lots of dynamic people.
Yeah.
Each with their own understandings, each with their own truths, each with their own desires.
Yeah.
Like, some people might want to do one thing all day, while there's 100 more people wanting to do that same one thing, but there might not be enough resource. Like, if all of us turned on all of our lights 24 hours a day and ran power 24 hours, and we all did it, it wouldn't be a good thing. So what I'm saying is, there's guidelines, just like there's red lights and green lights. Now, in that environment, the question is, where would you want to be? Would you want to, let's say you're in a world where you do see chaos, and there is chaos. We can't shut our eyes and say that there is no chaos. Do we want to guide, or do we want to just find our own truth and leave the world alone and become a hermit up on a mountaintop? What's better?
But what if we live in a society What if we lived in a society, I hear what you're saying, but what if, right, in that same sort of a society, everyone was grounded, and nobody lived from ego. Ego didn't even exist in this world, and everyone was grounded, and they all lived from a different understanding. And if one individual is saying, look, guys, I think we're wasting electricity with what we're doing, that these individuals are at such a connection with each other that they all tap into it.
That's ideal, by the way.
Called evolving.
By the way, that is where I hope humanity does evolve.
And that's my same deal. I agree.
That's where I hope they do evolve.
agreement tonight, my friend.
And I think they, and by the way, I think during this time era, people may be able to, on a greater and greater, evolve to that point. I truly believe people are.
Because you see what you were just saying, it's so nice to have the two different dynamics. I think what you were just saying is where, you know, a good majority of humanity today goes to thinking. Is they go, well, we have to control, and, you know, these people need to know this, and these rules need to be instilled. And I got to tell you, it's an ego. It's an egoic mind frame, and it comes.
So
from
you
an
believe
animal,
that? Let's say I wanted. Let's say
man.
A person wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
Is that egoic? Because they want to help.
No.
Why not?
How in the world would wanting to help somebody? Why would you know wanting to be a doctor and helping somebody be egoic?
I don't know. Because you're saying that the idea
being like.
Well, you're
you
saying
know,
the idea of helping.
The only way you can be a
see,
doctor.
There are different ways of helping, Tyler. There isn't just one way.
Right.
There are millions of ways. We each have to find, I think, a part of ourselves that wants to give to humanity. And I think that's the one, of, by the way, that was one of the third understandings I would have brought up, that each of us on some level contribute to another. On some level, we
but
become
I,
service,
no.
to, just service to others, without the idea of being beholden, or without the idea of there being rulers.
I gotta play devil's advocate.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if, you know, you taught people to eliminate ego, and to live within themselves, and to ground themselves, and to ground themselves to the environment around them, and to eliminate their ego, you wouldn't need this list of rules, because it would all, everybody would already connect to it all.
We're not in heaven yet, Tyler.
Intuitive, I'm just saying, I think that the day and age of where, like you're saying, the Ten Commandments and the Three Laws and, you know, this master list, I think those days, as we evolve into our next evolution as humans, I think that those days cannot exist for us to get to the next place. I think that we need to realize that the answers and all of those are within all of us. And if we all took the time to get to know ourselves before we worried about, you know, everybody and what they're doing around us and who has what and this and that, and just learned about ourselves and grounded ourselves and really learned.
I absolutely agree. But have you noticed all the spiritual people out there after they found themselves, the first
mm-hmm.
thing that they do is that they write a book, and then they go out there and they try to help as many people with the new spiritual wisdom they've gained? Have you noticed
exactly.
that?
I absolutely have. In fact,
so on some level, one, you do that, you do find yourself, you do go through that process, but the second part then comes into play, which is, you have a calling that almost a deep calling that almost compels you to want to help the world.
Yeah, absolutely. But let me stick to, because you just said something really, really profound, and I want to add to it. You just said something. You said that all the people that have reached spiritual understandings in this world then operate at a different way of life, or they operate at a different view of life. They operate from a different place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. I know someone personally at my work who's really been evolving as a spiritual person. She actually goes to, you know, school, and she's kind of getting a degree in the spiritual world. And, you know, she's got some of her homework is like doing selfless acts of kindness and you know, random acts of kindness where people aren't allowed to know it's her and are helping others. But anyways, the point is, she's been doing this for a good, you know, couple months now.
Good
and
for her.
And she now, oh, no, it's an absolute beautiful thing. And she's a prime example of what happens when one really connects to who they are and connects to a place of no ego and a place of just really wanting to grow with the world. And you know what she does now, what she never did before, and she does all the time, she goes and she will take out all the paper from our garbage and she will recycle. And she'll make sure nobody in our office is, you know, not recycling. And, you know, if we had some mice in the kitchen, she didn't let us kill them. She instead had us make sure that there was no food or anything to have them around, and she's just been looking at life so differently, and I'm sure it's carried on to many more things. But the point is, we've got this one individual, and I witnessed this on a personal level, who has seen, got to this place of understanding. She's no master, right? She's just someone who's starting to see the world differently. And she's already now operating from a different realm. She's already operating without being told, you know, she doesn't go to school, and they go, now that you're in the class, here are the guidelines of living your life. You know what I mean? They've helped her just grow and understand who she is, and in that, she's discovered her own truth. She's connected to what she sees around her. You know what I mean? And I'll tell you this, she'd also be an open person that if someone told her, hey, did you know that doing this hurts the environment, in a second, she would stop doing it if she was, you know, wasn't already. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that if, you know, for our next evolution as humans, if we can live in a place of connectivity with each other, there will be no need for lists. There will be no need for hierarchies. There will be no need for panic that there's not enough in the world for each other. There will be a complete understanding of us here as an entity together, that there is complete abundance here and that we create everything around us. And, you know, when you reach a place of understanding and a place of connectivity with the world around you, you won't even have a thought in your mind, and no one will be able to convince you that strapping a bomb to yourself to kill someone else in the name of whatever, it just doesn't register. It just doesn't make sense. It's like someone saying 2 + 2 = 3. It just won't calculate. You just won't get it. It just won't cross the mind. And that, I truly, I believe. I would believe that. What are your thoughts?
I'm still thinking about various ways to entertain the mind. If I was in front of groups of hundreds of people that have great amounts of power, and showing them a guideline in order for them to help and benefit the world and think along those lines versus what's happening today.
But how are you going to instill on these people these beliefs if they don't want to learn them?
Well, how the heck do you why don't we just think of that way on the whole global level, and then we'll have no teachers, and we'll have no parents, and we'll have nobody
that
wants to help anybody, and we can all find our own way.
Because
we all live in paradise anyways, and everybody's got their own way of going, and they'll all find their own truth. Better not pick up a book.
Because here's what will happen. These people who won't want to listen to what you have to say, as the world around them
there'll be a lot of people that won't. You're one prime example that doesn't.
No, but what I'm saying is these people who you said 100 people in power, right? These people will...
I'm looking at an ideal situation like you do. Your ideal situation is we're all in paradise. We're all already going. We're at the spiritual level, and we're all going to make our own living, and we're all going to know what the right thing is. We're all going to feel the right way to do it. We're all going to get along peacefully and happily. I get it. Now, I'm living in a different dimension. My understanding right now is that that's just not the case. Now, it might be the case, it could be the case, and in many circumstances with groups of individuals, it is the case. But now let's look at a situation where it's not the case.
Well,
and in that understanding, why would I want to do that? I'd want
well,
to do that.
You,
and would
I'll
they listen? Maybe they wouldn't, but at least the information would be there. Because I think on many levels, that the idea of holding life sacred, where you don't kill people, is fundamental.
Again, you know, I would have to tell you, you know, you think that I look at everything rosy, which I do, because that is important to me. I always look at the glass half full, no matter what. But I got to tell you that if we have more people living in ego than people living in no ego, and grounded, you know, I'm saying we either, exactly what Eckhart Tolle says, we either are going to evolve as humans or we're going to destroy ourselves.
You know, it's
we're
funny.
We're going to destroy
the
planet.
We've talked about ego.
It's
and we've used the word ego,
mm-hmm.
but I'll bet you this whole conversation being as strange as it is, not one of our listeners still knows what the ego is. You know why? Because our conversation never really did identify it. Not only has it not really identified it, we haven't really used examples of it. So on some level, we just
give a definition.
So talking about that—that's really that's it. See, that's why I talk, because on some level, talking helps people wake up to information. The idea of even consciousness. You know, I hear people talk consciousness this, consciousness that. Well, consciousness needs to be defined. Even the word life needs to be defined on some level before we can get into discussion of it.
So totally agreed. So in saying that, right, what is your definition of ego?
Well, let's stop and let's take an example. What would be ego? What would be...
Define ego.
What is the ego? What is it? I think what it is it can be identified almost in the sense that it's time itself. Time. The ego is time. That's one definition of the ego. Why? Because on some level, if we're reaching out to not living in the now, because we're trying to create some circumstance in the future, and we can't appreciate what we have right now, because we yearn for something more, could that be ego-related? Could
Absolutely.
It be throwing us out of the now?
Absolutely.
So that might be an identifier of being in an egoistic state.
And in putting it in simple terms, because you like to talk in complicated terms, you're basically essentially saying that ego is living in the past, living in the future that hasn't happened, and forgetting about the present moment.
Correct.
I would 100% agree with you, sir, that ego would be in the past and in the future, all things that don't exist, and ignoring the present. I think once you're able to live in the present, I think you're able to, you know, start dissolving the ego.
Correct.
And
sure.
I would personally add to that, I would also say my definition of ego is when you put yourself in a more superior place than another, when you feel more superior than another, and in the same context, when you feel more inferior to another, both of those are ego.
I would agree with you totally. Matter of fact,
there's two definitions for
that is the definition. The other is just, I think, more of a product of being in that state by warping time, where you're going
Absolutely.
Back and you're going forward because of that feeling inferior, because maybe you feel you don't have enough, or maybe you feel you need more. You know what I mean? So that
yep.
kind of drives you in a past and then to a few for the future. So, yes, I believe your definition is the most accurate of what an ego is. And what would be an example? If you were driving down, if you were going to work and you feel somebody did an idiotic job, would that be ego?
Yep, 100%.
What if the job was idiotic? What if the guy was doing, he was hammering in a nail with his fist? You know it was stupid. You recognize it.
How you handle the situation would be ego.
Okay. Now, how would a non-egoistic person handle the situation?
Well, first off, they would see that they're not hammering a nail in with their hand. And if the individual is in any way in human form, they would also realize that the nail is not going in.
No, let's say you were seeing somebody else do it.
They would learn, and they would be hurting.
Somebody else was doing it. I guess being, if you were not with any ego, you would just recognize the event and you would tell them, hey, you know, this is probably not a good thing because you'll hurt your hand. You wouldn't say to them, oh, that guy's stupid, or geez, what a dunce, or God,
Absolutely
what an
not.
Inferior worker.
Absolutely not.
Now, what if you fired that person? Would that be a result of ego? Or would it just be something that needed to be done because the guy really wasn't good at the job? He was hammering the nails in with his hand, for God's sakes.
Again, it would all depend on how you handle the situation. If you fire him, making him feel more, you know, making him feel inferior to you, or you more superior to him, that's ego. If the guy's hammering a nail with his hand and he can't get the job done, it's not ego to fire him, it's logic.
Is it ego to feel inside godlike?
What do you mean? It depends on how... you can feel godlike in
Let's say I said
to
you,
the best individual you can be in growing the world.
What if I said to you, you are as good a man as Christ? Would it be, could anybody feel that? Would it be ego if they did?
Again, ego is how you, you know, go about your life. If this individual
is it,
goes
but it's also how you deal with your mind. You're in your mind. It's not just how you deal with other people. Ego lives within you. You're talking to it daily. That's the thing that screws people up. It's not just evident on an outer level. It's evident on
the
inside of ourselves.
Then I would say this, because jealousy exists in all humans, every single person, I don't care who you are, has it. To feel it is not bad. To act on it is when it gets to not being a right situation.
Well, is thought not primary and action secondary?
I would say if this individual was acting like he was God and he was telling everybody he's right, they're wrong and he's right, and you know, he's the Almighty and da-da-da.
What if he didn't say any of that? He just said, I am likened unto a god.
It's all about the actions the individual has.
Is it the actions? Because I always thought was primary. That's the thing we're Eckhart talks about in his book so much that we're trying to escape the babble of our own minds. And on many levels, the ego lives within us. And we got to separate ourselves from the I portion of ourselves.
So I think you just answered the question yourself.
No, I'm asking you.
If anybody felt more superior than somebody else, or more inferior than somebody else, or was living in the past, or, you know, the future, in their head, they are living in ego.
Well, let's put it this way. There might be one guy who feels he's a god, and he feels everybody is a god. Or there might be a person who feels he's a devil, and he feels everybody is the devil. Which one's got the ego?
That is a very good question. I got to tell you, I will never tell you I have the answers to everything, because I don't.
These are the ways...
I don't have the answers to everything. So it depends on how does this person define devil.
Does it? Because everybody, according to you, has a truth.
Here's the deal. These questions that you propose to me,
mm-hmm.
basically trying to tell me, you know, if you think you know everything, you'll have the answers to all my questions. And I will tell you right now, I don't.
Why would you think that? See, it's your ego that just came out and said that.
No, I don't have the answers. So, you know, I'm saying that it's nice that you have these thoughts, right? But I seriously, I don't have the answers.
But that's okay. But don't you want to talk
this?
Along these levels? Isn't this kind of fun? This is all the spiritual stuff you want to get into.
I can only tell you about myself. And how I look at the devil is I look at it as a bad thing. I look at the devil, in my definition, is someone who is evil and causes hurt and uninvited pain to others. So if I thought I was the devil, and I thought everybody around me was the devil, I would say for me that would be a bad situation.
It would, but it would be ego.
That I'm the devil and so is everybody else?
Yeah.
Because I'm making other people feel inferior. I'm making people feel like, absolutely.
Okay, well, how about if you said you were God? What if you said you were God? What if you felt like you were God and you felt everybody else was a God? Would that be the opposite of the spectrum? Would that be ego?
For my own truth?
Yeah.
If I thought everybody was a God and I was a God?
Yes.
I would never, though. That's just the thing. I for myself, that's just
so
not
do you think
part
that,
of my...
Do you think that that would be an egoistic thought?
No, because, you know, again, I love this, and it's nice that you're having this, but I don't have the answers to everything. So I you know what, I'll tell you right now. Douglas Newsom, I do not have the right answer. I can't answer that because I don't have the answer to everything. So I don't know. All I know is that every day I try to grow as an individual. Every week I try to grow as an individual. I will never walk around and say I know it all, ask me any question, I have all the answers, because I don't. I don't have all the answers. I never will, and I will always constantly be growing. So truthfully, I don't have an answer for you. I don't know. All I know, you know, all I know is the logic to myself.
You know, this hour just flew by. I'll give you, you should have asked me for my answers to those questions. I would have given them to you, but now we're going to wait till next week.
Well, there you go.
I love you, man.
All right, buddy.
I'm sorry for getting under your skin, but, you know, it's often... I'm a very mental man, as you know.
There's a part of you that enjoys it.
I'm a mental man. I like to think. Then I get in my own world, and as I'm working, I'm thinking at the same time. And oftentimes, a million thoughts go through my brain. And you know, they might be too heavy. And in most cases, they may be too heavy for some. But it's always nice to explore them on the lighter side. I should think about that more often. And not try to get so deep with you. So I do apologize.
You don't have to apologize. You don't have to apologize. If you're happy and you're finding out your own truth and you're living in a place of bliss, that's all that I think is important at the end of the day.
I'm finding a way of being in every second.
Then you know what I mean? I'm only living my experience. I can only tell you about mine. I can't judge you on yours. I can't tell you you're right or wrong. I can't tell you anything. I'll tell you this. You did not offend me. You did not hurt me tonight at all. It's
good.
Always nice speaking with you. It's always nice being challenged by you. And, again, I'm just truly a humble being growing in my own experience and finding my own truth, you know, as the days go on and trying to live in the present moment as much as I possibly can.
By the way, Eckhart Tolle's book, you should read it. It's a really... You've read it, haven't you? The Power of Now?
I have not read The Power
of
Now.
You really should,
no.
Because you talk... You know now that Oprah has got him on the show. It's a very hot topic. It's something that I really would recommend because it's an interesting book. I want to say to everybody out there, I love you all very much. Tyler, thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, as always, sir.
Our inner dialogue we just shared with you, good and bad. And we hope you tune in next week for round two. Ding!
There's no round two. There's only one go.
I know.
I love how you try to always... there's no strife. There's no... It's all about love and openness.
That's right. That's right.
There's no strife. There's no round two. There's no somebody won this round, and it's just growing, my friend.
That's right.
All right. Well, you have yourself a beautiful week, my friend.
You too.
You know, find your happiness. You know, spend as much time in the present moment as you can, and I will do the same. And next week we'll share our experiences, positive. Likeness with ourselves and our listeners.
Let's do it.
All right.
Good night, my friend.
Have a great week.
Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.